This is before the Sadler Committee. And Mr. Matthew Crabtree was called in and was examined. "How old are you?" he responded, 22. "What's your occupation?" "A blanket manufacturer." "Have you ever been employed in a factory?" "Yes." "At what age did you first go to work in one?" "I was 8. "How long did you continue in that occupation?" 4 years. "Will you state the hours of labor, the period when you first went to the factory in ordinary times," that is when he was 8 years old, "from 6 in the morning until 8 at night?" 14 hours. "Yes." "With what intervals for refreshment and rest?" "We had an hour at noon." "When trade was brisk, what were your hours?" "From 5 in the morning to 9 in the evening." 16 hours? "Yes." "With what intervals at dinner?" "We had an hour." "How far did you live from the mill?" "About 2 miles. "Was there any time allowed for you to get from breakfast to the mill?" "No." "Did you take it before you left your home?" "Yes, generally." "During those long hours of labor, could you be punctual? How did you awake?" The response was, "I seldom did awake spontaneously. I was most generally awoke or lifted out of bed, sometimes asleep, by my parents." One thinks of parents rousing an 8-year-old, lifting the sleeping child up to send him off to walk 2 miles to go to work in the factory. "What was the consequence if you had been too late?" "I was most commonly beaten." "Severely?" "Very severely, I thought." "In those mills, is chastisement toward the latter part of the day going on perpetually?" "Yes, perpetually." "So that you can hardly be in a mill without hearing constant crying?" "Never an hour," he responded. "Never an hour, I believe." In 1842, this is testimony given by an 8-year-old girl, Sarah Gooder, before Lord Ashley's Mines Commission. "I'm a trapper in the Gauber pit," she said. "It does not tire me, but I have to trap with the light, and I'm scared. I go at 4 and sometimes 3:30 in the morning, and come home at 5 or 5:30. I never go to sleep. Sometimes I sing when I've light, but not in the dark. I dare not sing then. I don't like to be in the pit. I'm very sleepy when I go sometimes in the morning. I go to Sunday school and read, reading made easy." Then the commissioner reports, stenographer reports, she knows her letters. They obviously questioned her about her letters and can read little words. They taught her to pray. She repeated before the commission the Lord's Prayer, not very perfectly, and ran on with the following addition: "God bless my father and mother and sister and brother, uncles and aunts and cousins, and everybody else. And God bless me and make me a good servant. Amen. I have heard tell of Jesus many a time. I don't know why he came on earth, I'm sure, and I don't know why he died, but he had stones for his head to rest on. I'd like to be in a school far better than in the pit." This kind of testimony rang out across Britain as the Industrial Revolution intensified. This is testimony from 1842, and we're talking about an 8-year-old girl still employed in a dark coal mine. This kind of social cost was routinely noted. It became the source of an enormous debate. How could a system be allowed to continue that, on the one hand, created enormous wealth? There was no question that England was shooting to the top of the economic ladder, that it had far outdistanced its competitors on the continent, that industrial capitalism was generating wealth at a rate absolutely untold. And yet, at the same time, that wealth was being purchased at the price of child labor, abysmal conditions of labor for women, young girls, children, really. And at what point should the state step in, or should the state? Here is where liberals, not just the most aggressive of the kind of Manchester men we've been describing, found themselves at a loss. liberal economic theory from Adam Smith in 1776 through much of the 19th century still argued for laissez-faire capitalism, that if the market would regulate itself, that it did not require intervention by the state.